Father, that's what we want to do this morning. We want to sit back and behold you, great and mighty, awesome God that you are. God, we are confronted on a daily basis by the fact that our sin, it's strong. But Lord, even more so, your grace, your love, your mercy, your kindness, it's so much stronger. So Lord, we thank you for that fact. We thank you for these truths. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is so worthy to behold, so worthy to worship and praise. God, we are truly in awe of you. And I pray, Lord, that the words that we have sung would be a true reflection of our hearts. And Father, I pray that the rest of our time this morning, it would be worshipful because it would grow us closer to you and that our eyes would be on you and you alone. Lord, we thank you that you are in control, that you are good, and that you have a plan. Lord, we thank you that part of that plan was that Jesus would come to this earth to die on a cross for unworthy sinners, that he would defeat sin and death, stamping out any victory that they ever could have hoped for. And instead, Lord, he would raise from the dead. That we get to celebrate and proclaim and worship a risen Savior. Father, we pray that that would be evident in the way that we live. Father, we thank you that you are good. And we thank you that you are worthy of praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but this is the perfect kind of weather today. I woke up and I go, oh, yay. I'm sorry if you don't agree. But it's just, it's so beautiful out. Boy, we're really blessed, aren't we, with a God that is so creative in his creation. So a couple days ago, I was out on a hike and I was walking, and it was a specifically straight path, and so I don't laugh, I busted out a book, and I was reading as I was hiking, and so I looked up from my book, and there was this part of the path where I'm walking straight, and the sides around the path kind of raised up in a bit of a hill, and so I'm walking, and it was a very cloudy day that day. But as I'm walking, to my left, the hill kind of raised up, and I saw, like, the sun break through the clouds just a little bit. And you know, I'm sure you've seen it where you can see, like, the rays of sunlight kind of shoot through, and it's shooting through the leaves. And so it almost looks like an inside stained glass because there's this red and yellow and orange that's kind of shining through. And it was still, like, you know, it had rained earlier, so it's still a little foggy, and it was just picture perfect. And I'm thinking, wow, look at creation. It just gave me a moment to just worship God as I'm walking and looking. And then it got even better because then I look and something kind of moved slightly. And it took my eyes a second to kind of adjust to what was happening. But there, laying down underneath this big, huge oak tree, laying down was this big deer, a buck. I tried to count the points. I think it was 6, right? I was like, oh, wow, look at that guy, right? And he just turned and watched me as I'm walking, and he's just sitting there. And it's so majestic. And I'm just overwhelmed by how beautiful this picture is and how picturesque it is and all that. And a few days later, I'm telling the story to a couple guys, and I'm describing just this buck that's just sitting there and just watching me. And seriously, we're probably from me to the front row away, not far at all. And as I'm telling the story, one of the guys butts in and he goes, well, you know why he was laying there, right? You didn't see the arrow sticking out of him. No, I checked. There wasn't any arrow there, right? But it's interesting how our perspective sometimes changes what we see, right? As I'm telling this story, there's guys, and I've told it a couple times, every time there's guys that are saying, oh, well, how many points, right? Before I get to the how big the buck was or anything like that. I told it to Ashley, and she goes, wow, did you try to get so close? Did you try to pet it? Like, okay. Our perspective changes what we see. Our perspective changes kind of how we see, right? And if I would have kept my head buried in the book, it would have been a really wonderful time. Let me tell you, I love reading, I love hiking. But if I wouldn't have looked up, I wouldn't have gotten to see this kind of magical picture. And if I would have grabbed my phone and tried to take a picture of it, it just wouldn't have compared, right? It just wouldn't have worked. Your perspective changes what you see. I've said that a couple of times now because I think that as believers, we need to remember this truth. As believers, we have just sung multiple songs about how we get to behold our God, who is raised from the dead, a Savior that is raised to life. We get to behold a living Savior. We get to participate in His life. And as believers, although our lives may have some of the same elements as other people's, as believers, our perspective ought to be one of life. As a believer, our perspective ought to be filled with hope. As a believer, we get to see things in a different light than others do. Why? Because of Jesus. If you have your Bible, open up to the book of Colossians. We're going to begin our time today in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Says this, starting in verse 1, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory." This is an interesting chapter, an interesting passage, because it kind of marks a bit of a transition. For the first couple of chapters, Paul has been really concerned about doctrine. The book of Colossians almost mirrors the book of Ephesians in a lot of ways. In Ephesians, the first three chapters are all about doctrine, what you need to know, and what God has done. And the last three chapters are about what you now need to do, how you, as a believer, live your life. If God's done this, if this is what you know, now this is what you do. And that follows very similarly here in Colossians. First two chapters, we have this incredible, just a mountain of information about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. We recognize that He's not just some good teacher. He's not just some prophet. He's not just some guy who was created by God and then became divine. No, He is Creator Himself. He is the agent of creation. And Jesus, uncreated, eternal Jesus, is Creator, Savior, sustainer of all life, head of the church. We recognize all these incredible facts about Jesus, all these incredible things that Jesus has done, all in attempt so that we, the readers, would get to know who Jesus is. And as we, the church, if we say that we belong to Jesus, if we call ourselves Christians, little Christs, ones who are following after our great and awesome Savior, Jesus, then we ought to know Him. And know Him not just on an intellectual level, but really truly know Him with our hearts. And now we go into chapter 3, and we're transitioning in a little bit. And it's not just simply only information now. It's really, really full of application in these couple of chapters. How you, as a believer, has you, as someone who have put their trust in Jesus, this is how you ought to live. And we get verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." That word if we look into the Greek grammar a little bit, that word if is a first-class conditional, and that basically means we can read it as since, or assuming that. So if last week we talked about how you have died in Christ, you have died to your former self, you've died to your sins, you've died to the law, you've died to who you once were, if we've died, then now we gotta live. And if we've died to ourselves, we get to live to Christ. And so this word if, it's really saying, hey, assuming all that is true about you. So if you're sitting here right now and you're saying, I don't know if all that is true about me. I don't know if I have fully put my trust in Jesus. I don't know if I have fully seen Him as He is, if I have put my trust and understood and accepted the gospel of Jesus, this good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the fact that he left perfect heaven to come to sinful earth to die on the cross, taking the wrath of God, the punishment of our sins, death, upon himself, and then rose from the grave to give me life. If you're sitting here and saying, I don't know if that's me, well, I want you to really, really pay attention now. Because I'm going to describe to you, as Paul describes to you, the life that we can now have in Jesus. And if you're sitting here and saying, yes, that's me, I have died to myself, I am now alive with Christ, I have put my trust in Jesus, I've accepted this true gospel message, then you need to pay attention as well. Why? Because Paul is going to line out as who we as believers should be and the kind of perspective that we ought to have. So assuming it's true that you have put your trust in Jesus, that you have been raised with Christ, we're told to seek things that are above. This kind of, I look at this first verse and I kind of sum it up with the things that you believe determine the things that you do. So if you're walking around and you think, I am defeated, there's no hope. Everything is no good. Everything is bad. If you're walking around and that's what you truly believe, then guess what? You're going to live that way, right? I got to say this, right? As a Bears fan, life is hard during this time of year. That's why I focus on a lot of other good things, like the beautiful weather and beautiful colors of the trees and my identity in Christ, right? Why? Because if I was only wrapped up in that one area of my life, if I only cared about that one thing, then boy, I would be really depressed, wouldn't I? Right? You guys are getting a taste of what I've lived with my whole life this year, right? But here's the thing. We can joke about that and we can laugh about that, but here's the reality, is there are so many things in our life that are just small segments of our life. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something that we've been trying to work for or attain for years and years and years. But you got to remember, that's not your identity. That's not your life. And if you focus on these things that maybe aren't going so well for you, then guess what? Yeah, you're going to act as though you're frustrated and sad and everything's bad all the time. But if you reflect on the truth of who God is and what God has done, if that is informing how you act, how you think, how you speak, then boy, things are going to be a lot different, aren't they? Let's look at it this way. There's been many, many videos of people going around city streets and interviewing people and saying, hey, do you believe that people are basically good or basically bad? And the vast majority of the videos I've seen, people typically say, well, I think that people are basically good. I think that, you know, yeah, you know, there's bad people and there's evil people. But for the majority of us, most of us, we're okay. We're pretty good, right? It's interesting how that logic then follows down and you say, okay, if you think that people collectively, or even just you yourself, if you think you yourself are basically good, if you think that the only reason why you would have any bad in you is because of your environment, or it's because of the way that you were raised, or maybe it's because you were taught that, or whatever it is, if that's your starting place, and you're saying, I'm basically good, then why do you need a Savior? If you're basically good, then what good is it? What reasoning do you need to say, I need to put my trust in Jesus as Savior? You realize how the things you believe impact the way you live? The things you do? As believers in Jesus Christ, as believers in what the Bible says, right? If we believe that this is God's word and it's true, we read that no one is righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we look at people, we look at us as collective, as well as individuals, and say, no, we're not good. We're born sinners by nature and by choice. And we are completely alienated from God because of our sins. And that understanding of who I am, it motivates me to put my trust in Jesus. my understanding of who God is. That motivates me to put my trust in Jesus. Because if God is truly this big, awesome, powerful God that holds the universe in his hand and yet loves me and cares for me and knows me and still loves me. He just doesn't love a version of me. He doesn't just love the version of me that I can present to people. He knows me and he knows my innermost thoughts. And he still loves me. That's the kind of God who is not just worthy of worship. That's the kind of God that is worthy of everything I have. What you believe impacts what you do. And I think that's why it's really neat that this verse is seated right here in chapter 3 at the beginning, because we're at this transition from all these things that you should know, who Jesus is, what he's done, and now we're transitioning to what you should do, how you should act. It's no coincidence. The things that you believe impact the things that we do. Let's continue on, though. Set your minds on things that are above. Verse 2. Not on things of this earth. Boy, isn't that easier said than done, huh? Set your mind on things that are above. This is the second time that he says it, but he says it a little bit differently. In verse 1, he says, seek the things that are above. Verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That word set, it could be kind of understood as forming a habit. I don't know what the research is. I've heard many different explanations of what it looks like. How do you form a habit? I know that I didn't need to work really hard to get my sweets-loving habit in place, right? I also know that there's many different things in my life that if I really would stop and think about it, I would say, why do I do this? And if I do that self-reflection and that evaluation, I look and I say, why do I do this thing? Why do I wake up and why do I do that first and then this first? And when I walk into the office, why do I do this and then this and then this? And we all have patterns. We all have habits. We have habits here. And habits are not bad. Habits are often really good. It's the habits, it's what you do with these habits and what they are reflecting. We have to set our minds on things that are above. Make it a habit that you are not just seeking the things above, but you are taking your mind and you're saying, I am just going to focus on things that are above. It's interesting because I've heard many different quotes about having a heavenly mindset. Some people have said, make sure that you don't have too much of a heavenly mindset or else you won't be any earthly good. But I've also heard it this way, in order to be any earthly good, you need to have a heavenly mindset. I like that one a little bit better, don't you? Why and how does that make sense? Why and how can we be any earthly good if we have a heavenly mindset? Again, it's all about perspective. It's all about understanding that when I see somebody, I don't want to see somebody for what I see them as. Because if I see somebody for what I see them as, oftentimes, I'm going to get it wrong. Anybody here the best judge of people? Some of us can be better judges of others, right? But how many times have you saw somebody and expected something, and then later on you realize you were completely off? I get this often when I meet somebody. I'll say it this way. There has been multiple times in my life where I've met somebody and they've observed me from a distance for some time. And then when I meet them, they say, boy, I always thought you were a little grumpy. And I think, why is that? I'm not grumpy. I'm filled with the joy of the Lord. I'm happy all the time. And they say, I know that. But when your face is resting, you kind of have this grumpy face. Okay, I get it. It makes sense, right? How many times are we in the store? It just happened yesterday. We're in the store, and Ashley looks at me, and she goes, you're not feeling this, are you? I go, I'm fine. Everything's good. She goes, your face doesn't say that. And I go, she's in nursery right now, so I can do that. I don't know if second service will get that illustration, right? But the point of all of this is to say that when we make it our habit to have a heavenly mindset, then that impacts what we do here on this earth. And when you look at somebody, we can be off, right? We can look at them and we say, I think this about them, but that's not true. Instead, we ought to look at people the way that God will look at people. As children that are created in His image with inherent worth and value. These people that God loves and cares for. And if they're believers, then we see them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray for them, encourage them, and lift them up and love them with everything we have. And if they're not believers in Jesus Christ, we look at them as Jesus looked at the crowds. And He had compassion for them because they were helpless and hopeless, like sheep without a shepherd. How we view people matters. And if we don't set our minds on things that are above, if we don't set our minds on things that are godly and good, if we're not wrapped up in what God has given us in His words, we're going to be off when we looked at people. We're going to look at them the way that we would want to interpret them, not the way that God sees them. Same with situations. There's a lot of different situations that pop up in our life, and at first glance, we think we know how to handle the situation, right? At first glance, we think, oh, okay, well, I'll just do A, B, and C, and then boom, we got it taken care of, we got it covered. But instead, how many times when a tricky situation pops up, how many times do we, before we make any decisions, before we say anything, before we do anything, how many times do we take it to the Lord in prayer and say, God, I'm at the forefront of this thing. I'm going to admit I don't get it. I'm going to admit that my wisdom is not good enough for this situation. So, Lord, before I do anything, I'm going to You and say, Lord, would you give me Your wisdom? Would You help me to view this situation through Your eyes with a biblical lens? Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of this earth. We get so wrapped up on things with this earth, don't we? We get so wrapped up on the things that we can immediately see, and we forget the big picture. We get so wrapped up in what's right ahead of us, what's right in front of us, the things that we can grasp, the concepts that we can grasp, that we forget that there's a bigger picture. We forget that there's a God who speaks and stars are created. We forget that we serve a God who speaks and His enemies are defeated. We forget that we serve a God who spoke, Lazarus, come out, and a dead guy walked out of the grave, now fully alive. We forget that we serve a powerful God. And I think that if we remember time and time again that we have this awesome God, that our eyes would be on Him a little bit more and not on the things of this earth, right? And then verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. What an awesome hope. What an incredible hope that one day we will be with our Lord and Savior forever. But here's the thing. While we look forward with expectant hope to the glory that is awaiting us, while we look forward with expectant hope to be with Him and see Jesus face to face, let's also not forget that our position with Christ right now, that really truly does matter. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that neat? I think about the various times in my life where I have faced hard times, difficult struggles, immense suffering. I think about those times and I think about, there's a couple that popped to my mind. And I think, how did I respond in the midst of that? And thankfully, most of them, not all of them, admittedly not all of them, but most of them, my mind, it gives me this mental picture of myself as a small little child huddling and hiding in the midst of my awesome Savior. It's the season of crazy decorations. And a couple of years ago, we were with our nephew and we were at a store and we were walking and there is this big spider that was, you know, this big or whatever. And it's just on the ground and we're walking and my nephew, he's maybe 4 or 5 at the time, and he walks and he hit something. It was like a motion that he tripped, motion activated thing that he tripped. And all of a sudden the spider lunged at him and he moved quicker than I had ever seen him move. And he immediately, like, he's, my nephew's not athletic, okay? But he went from here to here in my arms quicker than I even realized what would happen. And that's the kind of picture that I want to have lived out in my life. When something happens in my life, I want to be safe in my Savior's arms. I want to look at my life and I want to look back in my life and say, boy, that thing that we were struggling with at that time, that was rough. But you know what? I was safe in my Savior's arms. I think about the friends that maybe I've lost and how much that hurts. But you know what? I was safe in my Savior's arms. I think about the time Ashley and I have endured infertility. And boy, was that painful? But you know what? We were safe in our Father's arms. Because He wrapped us with His big, strong arms and He held us tight. And it still hurts. And boy, there were still lots of tears. But through it all, we knew that we were going to be okay because our God, He was good. And we didn't know what that would look like afterwards. And we didn't know what the outcome, but we did know that our God was good. And we did know that He was strong enough to carry us. Our position in Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you got to know that your position as a child of God, as Jesus is your Savior, you have this incredible position. You can hide in Him. He has you safely in His arms. And no matter what you endure, whether it's something that is external and it's just bogging you down, you feel like you're getting beat up all the time, or maybe it's internal, something going on with you and just don't understand why you're feeling this or why you're going through that, you can be safe in your Savior's arms because your life is hidden with Christ. And so there is real-world application to that. You can understand that I don't know what is going on around me. The world feels like it's falling apart. But because of my position, boy, I'm safe. Because of my position, I have life. Because of my position, I have hope. Hope that my Savior, He rules and reigns. Hope that one day I'll be with Him. And so the things of this earth, they get to slowly grow dim. Why? Because we're looking at the light. We're focused on who He is. Because our mindset is not about the things that are happening right in front of us. Instead, our mindset is focused on our good and awesome God. And I have very good news for us. The more we focus on Jesus, the more that our mindset is caught up in who He is and all that He's done, the more earthly good we will be. We'll be able to love our neighbors better. We'll be able to be more patient with our kids and with our spouse. The more that we look at Jesus and the more we fall in love with Him, the more lovely a person we become. People might want to be around us more as they realize, wow, this person, something's different about them. This person, they're changed. They're a reflection of their Savior. Let's make sure that we have a heavenly mindset. Let's make sure that we are safely hidden in His arms and that we express the hope of His glory. And boy, let's please, please be sure that the things you believe, they're evident in your life. Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you love us. Help us to reflect and remember this truth of who you are, what you've done, the hope that awaits us, the hope that we get to experience even right now. And Father, We pray that we would have that heavenly mindset because we are alive in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we have these truths. Help us to reflect them in our lives. Let it be so evident. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.